Good morning. John Mackey here, Master Credit Solutions, Give Me Credit Media, and U.S. Credit Project. Today is Friday, the 29th of May. Here is your credit news. According to the FTC, some debt collectors are now texting. The FTC has temporarily halted three debt collection operations that allegedly misuse texts and is attempting to permanently ban the activity as part of its messaging for money enforcement sweep. New York-based Unified Global Group sent the text, and others like it, the FTC says. Some consumers who received such texts hadn't set up any card payment with the firm, and the firm failed to identify itself as a debt collector in the message, a violation of the FDCPA, according to the FTC. Legitimate debt collectors know the rules. They can't harass or lie to you, whether they send a text, email, or call you. The FTC also obtained restraining orders against New York-based Premier Debt Acquisitions and a Georgia-based company, accusing each of sending texts and making phone scams that violated federal law. A Mason City, Iowa man has filed a federal lawsuit seeking $105,000 from debt collectors he says repeatedly and wrongfully harassed him with robocalls. Jerry Thomas says he received at least 205 automated phone messages from the Cedar Falls-based CBE Group, a third-party debt collector from November 2013 to June 2014, according to a federal civil complaint filed last week. The calls to Thomas's cell phone sought payment for a debt incurred by someone he didn't know, the complaint states. Thomas is seeking $105,855 in damages and a jury trial in district court. A spokesman for the CBE Group did not provide a comment on the lawsuit filed Tuesday. Sophisticated criminals used an online service run by the IRS to access personal tax information from more than 100,000 taxpayers, part of an elaborate scheme to steal identities and claim fraudulent tax refunds, the IRS said Tuesday. The thieves accessed a system called Get Transcript, where taxpayers can get tax returns and other filings from previous years. In order to access the information, the thieves cleared a security screen that required knowledge about the taxpayer, including Social Security numbers, date of birth, tax filing status, and street address. Identity thieves, both foreign and domestic, have stepped up their efforts in recent years to claim fraudulent tax refunds. The agency estimates it paid out $5.8 billion in fraudulent refunds to identity thieves in 2013. Credit card fraudsters are everywhere these days, but when it comes to targeting victims, they have a special fondness for Americans. Nearly half of all the credit card fraud around the world occurs in the United States, even though America accounts for only about one-fourth of the global card volume, according to a new report from Barclays. The increasing instances of credit card fraud and the subsequent hassles, like not being able to use the credit cards or have to replace them more often, are mostly due to the fact that the U.S. still relies on old, faulty technology that the rest of the world moved on from years ago. In the U.S., credit cards still transmit financial information through a magnetic stripe that is easily to replicate if stolen. Hackers can also remotely install malicious software onto checkout terminals at retail stores to capture credit card numbers. The data gets transmitted to these cyber criminals, who then sell the information to the highest bidder. These tactics don't work well in the rest of the world, where most credit cards are now embedded with little chips, often referred to as EMV, that are more secure because they randomly assign a number to each transaction that changes each time customers use their credit card. Users must also input a personal identification number to verify each purchase. In Georgia, the Governor's Office of Consumer Protection has shut down an Atlanta collections agency in a deal with the owner to cease collection efforts on more than $3.1 million in purported debt and pay $15,000 in penalties. In an assurance of voluntary compliance filed in Fulton County Superior Court last week, Zenith Financial Group and its owner, Ernest Irvin IV, agreed to get out of the collections business completely and stay out for 5 years. If Irvin violates the deal, he is subject to a $445,000 penalty. Zenith was accused of violating the Georgia Fair Business Practices Act by threatening consumers with arrest or imprisonment and concealing that its collectors were contacting customers and consumers to collect a debt, and any information they obtained could be used for that purpose. Thank you for listening. This is John Mackey, Master Credit Solutions and Give Me Credit Media. That was the news.